And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, the best way. There is a best way. The best way. Also, do's and don'ts. Not just like when you were growing up, but also now that we're supposed to be grown up. Do's and don'ts. We'll take a peek at the godly good spin, and we'll close it out with like pop, like crackle.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Let me think. You know what? No. I say no to politics for the rest of this hour. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866. That's 866. That's 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's television through radio microwaves. Okay? It's television through print. Okay, wait. Okay, never mind. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Props to Agent Squires for helping us coordinate through yet another show. Great job. And props to our very own Steve Wheeler, doing a fantastic job in our last hour talking about Whitefields Ministries. Whitefields.org. We encourage you to check that out. A couple things to cover. 12th Annual Pastors Appreciation Lunch. That is Thursday, October 5th. At City View Church. Special speaker, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Very, very fortunate to have him joining us. We encourage you, because seating is limited, to get connected to it sooner than later. As in last year, we ran out. This year, our venue is a little tighter because it's going to be a little more, let's just say it's going to be more interesting than you may be aware. And we will tell you that we can only take so many, so we encourage you to go to kprz.com, get that figured out. Also, K-Praise app, which is available to you at your app store, just type in KPRZ, and then you can have the app. I think the big thing that we have been telling people is we did get the okay, not this week, but the week before, about giving away some contest Dollar Aroonies, food certificate Aroonies, things that are really cool Aroonies. So if you do not have the K-Praise app, please, we encourage you to check it out. And as we get to a certain number, which we are just right there, then we will be able to disperse those in those contests. That is forthcoming from our very own Susie Lopez. We're looking forward to see how that turns out. Finally, Abounding Grace, which is on at 1:30 and also again at 4 o'clock. So you can understand that this radio station is committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to give you some kind of relief from the David Spoon Experience. That's why they're on before our show and after our show, so you can kind of wash your brains. Okay, pretty simple. David Spoon at KPRZ.com is, in fact, the email that would be most easy to get in touch with me, because that is the only one I'm using. Let's get into... I'm looking forward to this because I know as I read it, I'm going to be like, guilty, guilty. But I recognize when I hear something, I don't feel bad about it. I just tell the Lord, I need to do better. Help me. Because I can't do any better than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. The best I can do is His grace. That's where I stand. And then when I look at the walk and think, well, I can improve here and here, here, I can only do that improvement with the partnership that's in the Lord. That's why sometimes I look forward to being examined and going, I need work here. I need work here. Well, guess what? This entire portion I'm going to teach, I need work in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And before we get there, let's just lay down this foundation. There are various tools in the Christian walk. There are various methods and pathways. Once you are in Jesus, we find there are different things that the Lord requires, different aspects. For example, faith is an important aspect of our walk. And we also understand that hope is an important aspect of our walk. Without hope, you got nothing to hope for. You don't have an anchor to your soul. You have nothing to look forward to. That's definitely a problem. Some people see faith as trusting and believing God for now, and hope as trusting and believing in God for tomorrow. If it works for you, great. Here's what the passage says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. I don't want to talk about a good way. I don't want to talk about a really good way. I just want to use what the scripture says and talk about the best way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So if you want to go with me on this journey and examine some of this, the first and foremost thing we get right off the bat is the super spiritual without love are super duds in the eyes of God. So can't change that. Agape love, biblical love, is not the same as love of feeling. There are commentators and there are writers on television and movies that tell you love is that fleeting feeling that comes in and out. There's even a big song, what's love got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion, right? You ever heard that? Or it's just that guess what? That's all called unlearned, unstable, ignorant, and wrong. Biblical love, agape love, us. And that's even what the word means in the Greek. So when they tell you that's not what it means, you can just say, yeah, you don't know Greek, huh? A selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability, but motivated by a desire to honor God. You know, I just wish some of these people would read some of this stuff. Listen to that. A selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability, about 9,000 people just registered in my mind, but motivated by a desire to honor God. That's what biblical love is. Notice in there is nothing about the word feelings, nothing more than feeling, because that's got nothing to do with it. Love, in the biblical sense, is a decision. And you could be so spiritual that you can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge. You can tell people all the things about Scripture more than all the brilliant men and women that have gone before you. And if you don't have love, You got nada. You could be the kind of spiritual person that can move mountains because your faith is so high. And if you don't have love, you can move that mountain wherever you want to. It's not going to get you one stick of reward in the mind and heart of God. How about this? I got to say, as I was reading this today, this really kind of struck me a little differently. If I give all I possess to the poor, okay, and give over my body to hardship, which means that a person is being physically wounded for the gospel's sake, even if you give your life up in sacrifice or give your life up financially and you don't have love, it doesn't work. Like, what do you mean doesn't work? Doesn't work? Well, that's the ultimate sacrifice. It's the ultimate sacrifice if you do it for love. If you're doing it for a badge, it ain't going to work. If you're doing it because you want to show everybody how spiritual you are, God is like going, there ain't no love there. The idea for you and me is to follow the example of God as he demonstrates what love is. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he sacrificially gave, by the way. A selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability. Like, wow, That is something I can only do in partnership with God. Because I cannot possibly do that on my own. I don't have a capacity to have a selfless concern for the welfare of others just walking around. And I know all these people, oh, well, this person did and this person, no, not really. See, the thing is, you only see the outside like me. You only see my outside. I only see your inside or outside. You and I, we see each other's outsides, but God sees the heart. And no matter what show we put on, including letting our bodies get beaten or moving mountains with our faith, no matter what kind of show we put on, God knows what's really going on. Is it love? Is it biblical agape love? That is what God requires of us. That is the most excellent way, not a most excellent way. When we come back, we're going to look at the do's and don'ts. Yep, it ought to be about that fun. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
When King David of old said that our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope, his words were part of a prayer of thanks for the money raised to build the first temple in Jerusalem. But why go to the trouble to build a beautiful, expensive temple if our life on earth is just a shadow? In the previous sentence, David said that all things come from God, meaning that apart from God, our lives are as meaningless as a shadow. But with God, we have a reason to build for his glory and his kingdom. In him, there is true hope. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God defines life on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66. Start your journey home today.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. In 1923, the communist Soviet government launched an official state-approved church named the Living Church. Pastor Sergei refused to preach a watered-down gospel and was subsequently arrested and sent to prison for 5 years. Upon his release, he continued to preach from God's life-giving word and was arrested again and sent to a hard labor camp in the far north. Refusing to be silent there, he was placed in solitary confinement and died a martyr's death. May Sergei's bold example inspire us to stay true to the gospel.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in a prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. First segment, we've been talking about the best way to walk, not a way, the best way. We understand that walking in faith is a pretty important aspect to the heart and mind of God, since without faith it's impossible to please God, for those who come to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who seek Him. We also understand that without hope, there's a problem, because hope is an anchor to our soul, gives us the stability, and we are able to look forward or past some of the trials we go through and see how we are able to endure, much like the example of Jesus Christ. But both faith and hope are not in front of love. And when people say the word love, because we have a romantic society and the society before us was a little bit more romantic, and in fact, many societies have been romantic. If you've ever read the Song of Solomon, in spite of what preachers and teachers will tell you about that being between Christ and the church, that is pretty absurd. Being a Jewish dude who grew up in the temple, I can tell you that's not about Jesus Christ and the church. It's about a man and a woman. And there is nothing wrong with Scripture talking about a man and a woman. That's just like the idea that that's wrong. People forget God created sex. Move on. Okay? Get over it. So what we do, though, is understand that love from our worldly mindset is got all of these, you know, we even had a show, Love American Style. And it's like that tells you all you got to know about our concepts of love. But the biblical concept of love is much firmer, much more secure, much more righteous. It is a selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability, but motivated by a desire to honor God. In fact, if God based His love for you on your lovability, how would things be going? Not so swell? Okay. So what we talked about was understanding that you can be super spiritual in your mind and in your eyes and in the world's eyes, but unless you're genuinely operating in agape biblical love, it's a super dud, not super spiritual. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, the most well-known passage in marriages, you get the three do's and the eight don'ts. I'm going to a wedding in 2.5 weeks. And these people that I'm going to the wedding at are not overly spiritual. I'm going to put down a $50 bet that 1 Corinthians 13 will be at the wedding, because that somehow spiritualizes it. It's great because you can read it, but we got to do better than read. We got to process. We got to function. We got to bring Scripture inside of us, not just let it be in a book that's read by somebody in a unique voice. There are three do's and eight don'ts in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. Ready? All right. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. That's a big problem for me. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Okay, I picked out my bad one. So let's have you, by your own process, pick out your bad one. Let's go this way. David is patient. David is kind. David does not envy. David does not boast. David is not proud. Okay, those are my other bad ones. David does not dishonor others. David is not self-seeking. David is not easily angered. David keeps no record of wrongs. David does not delight in evil, but David rejoices with the truth. All right, now that I've done it, it's your turn. Put your name in there and tell me which one bounces. I got stuff bouncing all over the place. If this was ping pong balls, they'd be like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Are you kidding? The do's. Love is patient. You know what patient is? Patient is enduring people that have faults. Uh-oh. I'm gone. That's why I told you. As soon as we do this, I know I'm in trouble. What's the other thing? Love is kind, doing good. I think there's a lot of people that are okay on that one. They do good. People try and do good, try and have a genuine kindness. Love does not envy, which means you want others to have the best, not just you. Love does not boast, which speaks of genuine humility, recognizing that all our gifts come from God. Love is not proud. That means you're not looking down on others. Here's the good one. Love is not rude, which means it's courteous, which means when you drive on the road, you're not the only person in the universe. That's what it means. When you park in a parking lot and take up 16 spots, you are not being courteous, right? However, you shouldn't be impatient with those people's faults. See how these conflicts take place? Like, wow. Love is not self-seeking. It is not selfish. It's unselfish. It really, what it means, it goes to Philippians chapter 2. You care about the world of other people, not just your world. It's tough. Love is not easily angered. Here's my definite big, big blow up out of these 11. Not easily irritated or touchy. Uh-oh. I don't know what I keep praying about. Love keeps no record of wrongs, not hanging on to past burns. Did somebody do something to you that was offensive? Does that person rub you the wrong way? Okay, I get it. But do you hold it against them because you can't let it go? It does not delight in evil. Not happy about evil things, which again, I think is not that difficult for most. But it's not happy about other people's sins. You're like, it's not be, oh, I'm so happy about the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ group. No, I'm not. I think it's wrong. I don't hate them. I just think it's wrong. Wrong is wrong to me. That's my approach. That's the biblical truth. It's not going to change. And then love rejoices with the truth. Happy about the right things. Happy about the sincere things. Happy about the good things. Three do's and eight don'ts. How do you do? How are you doing in that? I look at that and think, I'm okay on the kind, I think. I don't really delight in evil, though I guess from time to time when everybody's cheering for the Padres, I guess. If I'm not cheering for the Padres, I guess that could be a form of evil. I've got a big problem on the anger side. I got a big problem on the pride side. Those are just things that I struggle with in general. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is wherever you're lacking, ask God to help you. And whenever you're doing great, just ask God to help you keep doing great. Because I don't think anybody's coming off of these things perfectly the way that Jesus did. I think it's important to recognize this is where we want to go to. Might not be where we're at, but it's where we want to go to. And again, when you read scripture and you're feeling like, oh, I'm not there, don't let the devil beat you up with that. Take that and say, Lord, I'm not there. Help me get there. That's the idea, so that we can conform into the image of Jesus Christ. Hey, you're right with God judicially. He's just going to make you look like Jesus more and more practically. All right, we come back. We're going to look at that next segment because it is a toughie. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
It's not hard to be grateful for all God's blessings when you consider the alternatives. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I sometimes take it for granted that I'm not living a life defined by constant physical danger, fearful of persecution for my faith, or afraid that I won't find shelter or food. When I consider how most of the world lives, I'm overwhelmed by the blessings God has given me. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful not for the gift so much as for the God who gave the gift, and the thought that I am known and loved and cared for by the living God, the one who gives me all I enjoy. Those are the things that make me immensely grateful. Hey, how about you?
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
An adversarial climate will not lead to growth.
It may feel good to be antagonistic, but when you're at odds with your spouse, it'll get you nowhere, as Dr. Gary Chapman suggests on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
But a love climate leads to the possibility of growth. So I suggest the tender love approach and periodically asking your spouse questions such as, what could I do to make your life easier? Or what could I do to be a better husband or a better wife? And getting that feedback and working on those things. And what happens in the mind of the other person is they begin to think, they're changing. I like this person. I like what's happening here. And so they respond to what you're doing for them. It's that kind of attitude that has the potential of turning the person around.
Close the distance by offering love and grace. More from Dr. Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where we've turned 1 Corinthians 13 into something more than a wedding poem. We're just kind of going through the passages, looking at it, and thinking, And here's why. Because this stuff applies to you and me. And we need to walk in this the best we can, but we recognize, a little bit away. That's why we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, you don't, and that's another thing. I do want to say this real quickly. You don't get saved and then go, okay, now that I'm saved, Lord, I'll take over for you. That is not how this works. Or if you're going to try that, let me know how that miserable life goes. So we have started off the conversation talking about walking in the best way, recognizing that faith is important, hope is important, but they're not as powerful as love. We get that out of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 12:31 makes it very clear that the most excellent way is the way of love. In the last segment, we talked about do's and don'ts. That is never fun in the context of you can review it and know, yeah, I need to work on this, work on this. It's not a bad thing. It's just challenging for us to look at it and say, yeah, we got to do a little better. Lord, help me in this, help me in this. And I would never tell anybody that I met, hey, why don't you work on these 9,000 things you know you're not doing well at one time? My advice has always been, and how I've always tried to walk it, is whatever the Lord is working on the most, or that seems to be the most preeminent, that's what I need to be concentrating on. Because I can't do everything, Brad. I'm going to have to take it one step at a time. That's why I rely on grace. Because that's how I get through. Because without it, I'm in trouble. This next segment, not going to be any more fun. Just being honest. I'm calling it the godly good spin. This has to do directly with our engagement with one another. It's one of the shorter verses, but it is, of all things, very challenging. Because the truth of the matter is that you and I, now that we're saved, recognize that there is a family that we have in God, a brotherhood and a sisterhood. Some are older brothers, some are younger brothers. Some are older sisters, some are younger sisters. Terrifically true, we only have one Father. That's our Heavenly Father. And in many ironic ways, the church is being considered, as its full entity, the bride and also the mother. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it, the people of God, especially if you get into Revelations 12. But that aside, listen to this passage and then let's dive in. It is 1 Corinthians 13:7. Here's what it says. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And we talked about personalization, where you can stick your name in for the word love. David always protects. David always trusts. David always hopes. David always perseveres. I get 0 out of 4. I'm looking at it going, nope, nope, nope. Let's talk about the first one, which could be the toughest one. Love always protects. That's the Greek word stego. The idea of stego, so you can understand before you think it's always like somebody who pulls out a sword. Stego means love, it always covers or it defends. Love is something that puts us in a position where we cover a person. The scripture says love will cover a multitude of sins. That's what it's talking about. That right there, that it covers over the sins. It's not that it sees sins, points out the sin, puts a spotlight on the sin, and then you point to the person and go, ha ha, sinner, sinhead. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is recognizing that a person has sin and saying, I extend love in spite of that. It's by saying, I love, even though I know there's some things in there that might not be lovable. That is not what I base it on. It's not based on lovability. It's not based on a person's performance. You don't love your husband or love your wife based on how they perform for you. Okay? That's what a circus animal does. All right? Good. Here's a little treat. Okay, we don't do that. That's not how relationships go. That's not how adults do it. Mature people. We love based on the decision to love. I do have a message for you if you're a parent in any capacity. If you base your love on your child based on the way they perform for you, you're a sick parent and you need help. That child needs to understand that lovability and that acceptability. Let me rephrase that. That acceptability means that when they make a mistake, you're the person they can go to. You think, well, what if it's a bad mistake? You're the person they can go to. That's your job. That's the job God gave you. And it's an important part of it. So we understand right off the bat that love is protecting. It's stego in the Greek. It covers. It defends. There's this protection that takes place. But you know, you're not slaughtering everybody. It's more like you're putting your arms around. And you know, there are times where you go through stuff and all you want is somebody to put your arms around you. That's what it is. Watch this second one.
This is so irritating.
Love always trusts. Now, when we say trust, you might be thinking, you know, the trust that you have for God, but that's not exactly what the context is. The context is this, get ready. That trust means that you are trusting for the best or believing in others. Yeah, this could be the worst of the four for me. You're believing in others. What you're supposed to be doing and what I'm supposed to be doing is trusting in Bible-believing born-again Christians. You're supposed to be trusting the Jesus Christ that's in each other. You're supposed to be trusting the Holy Spirit that's working in each other. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be trusting, believing for the best, believing in others because Jesus is in others and can do anything. That's what that means. I need a lot of work there. The next thing it says is love always hopes. And when you're thinking of hope and thinking of the future, it's not wrong to connect the future, but it's a hope that sees the future and sees good, as opposed to when I see something that maybe a sibling is doing and I think they're always going to be a mess up. They're never going to get better. That is not loving that person. Oh, they're always messed up in this. This is never going to change. That right there, that is a non-love statement. Well, how do you do that? I don't know how to do it the way that it's supposed to be done. All I know is that God does it for me. Because if he never believed that I could do better, he wouldn't try and have me do better. I was like, okay. So I need help to do it. You need help. We need help with this. And then there's this last one, which is, again, I don't think I'm very strong on this either. And that is, it says this, that love always perseveres, which means it never gives up. It never quits. Now, I can't say that with full confidence. I think that as God operates with us, he never quits on us. He never gives up on us. He knows what's going on. I think a lot of us have a quit button. Like, that's enough. You press the button, you're done. But these are things that, these are part of the do's and don'ts kind of mentality. And if you put these four together, those are four positives. So you'd actually have seven do's and eight don'ts, which is pretty split, pretty in the middle. But the idea is that we're always supposed to be covering and defending one another. We're always supposed to believe for the best and believe in one another. We're supposed to look to the future and see good. And we're supposed to never give up and never quit. Now, knowing that that's how it's supposed to be, I appreciate that. I just need a lot of help to get there. I appreciate that. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the, that's the Shema, by the way, in Hebrew. That's the Shema, Shema Yisrael. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command, there's no commandment greater, either way, than these. That's where we're supposed to be focusing on a lot of that energy. The first point to understand is we're supposed to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Your heart is your emotions, your seat, that part of you that has the feelings. Your soul is the inner personality of who you are. It is your essence of you which defines you as an individual. Your mind are your thoughts and the things that you process between your left and right ear. And your strength is your physical strength. That covers all of you. And you're supposed to love God in that realm, first and foremost. Then you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Unfortunately, some of us have such an unhealthy love of ourselves that we don't have a good capacity to love our neighbors. That's a separate issue at a separate time. These are what the Lord has commanded us to function in. This is where we need to head to. This is why it's a summation of the law. And this is important to ask God to help us to do, because apart from him, you're not doing this. In him, you can do everything. Got it? All right. We're going to take a short break and come back and do a wind-up with Like Pop, Like Crackle. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
What were the principles of our founding fathers, and why should we care? Good question. This is Jim Garlow. Were all of the 204 men who signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence Christians? No, but there was an overarching faith perspective that shaped the values, ideals, and principles of the men who wrote our founding documents and led our first Congress. John Adams, the author of the Declaration, wrote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." America was founded as a nation rooted in higher law, not in man's law. When you encounter those who would deny any religious roots in this country, you can be confident it was well understood by our founding fathers that the inalienable rights they wrote of and spoke to were part of a higher law established by God, not by man. Be well versed in these issues at jimgarlow.com.
Divorce, it can be devastating. Greg remembers the pain of his divorce and being separated from his kids.
It just really put me on a downward spiral. I was very depressed. I wanted to commit suicide several times, but I thank God that he didn't allow me to do that.
God did allow Greg to make some other mistakes, and it was those mistakes that led him to fully surrender his heart and life to Jesus Christ.
Look, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where your life has taken you. God loves you. And now is the time. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Accept him now. So if that's one thing I can tell people, never give up. Never doubt what God can do.
You know the mistakes you've made. The Bible says that none of them are too big for God to forgive. Learn more about that forgiveness at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We have been talking about the simplicity of Christianity, walking in the power of agape love. It's not easy. Come on. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's tough. Love your enemy. That's tough. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's tough. That's why we depend on grace. Some of us do maybe a little better job from time to time than others, depending on the area and the circumstance. But look, apart from grace, you ain't going to make it. You're never going to be good enough. This is Christianity is not about performance orientation. But it is about understanding that God has declared us judicially one way and is making us look that way practically. One is called justification. The other is called sanctification. Guess which one we all love? Justification! Justification! Guess which one we don't like? Sanctification! Why? Because that's where God makes you look like Jesus. So it's like, okay, well, we're talking about love, and we started off saying, hey, it's not a way, it's the way, the best way. No doubt about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 make that clear. Then we went over our list of do's and don'ts. We actually split them up, and I did that on purpose because verses 4 through 6 is typically that wedding poem, and there's 3 do's and 8 don'ts. But then I separated 7, and the reason I separated verse 7, which has another 4, is because that part is all the think good about one another kind of mentality, which is why I called it the godly good spin. Then we gave the summation, which was in Mark chapter 12. It's in Matthew chapter 22. People will often say from the pulpit, this is the most important question that anybody could have asked Jesus. My question to them is, well, why did everybody wait to the end of Jesus' ministry to ask him this once? Anyway, I'm just saying, people make stuff up all the time. The bottom line is verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. Here it is, 3 words. Love never fails. Oh, okay. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But the 3 words that matter, love never fails. You can't go wrong walking in agape love. Period. I just don't know what to do in regards to this person. Well, if you can operate in agape love, you're not going to do it wrong. That's as definitive as it can be. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 21 says this. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? Well, it's going to be love that's made complete in you that's going to make you be like Jesus. We love because God first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So the reality is walking in love makes us, get ready, be like Jesus. Now, what's funny about that is that all of us in the beginning of our faith prayed, oh, Jesus, I want to be just like you. Then you find out how deep that goes. You kind of revise that. I want to be just like you until it gets completely uncomfortable. Then I want to run away like a scared little boy. It's like, come on. There are a couple of different aspects to love that I think are worth noting. God's love to us and our love to God. Our love to others and others' people's love to us. Our love to ourselves, our lack of love to ourselves. Our love to our enemies, their lack of love towards us. There's a lot of different directions that love goes. I think part of the problem is when Christians hear the word love or you say it in a church, somebody in some warped, sinful, ridiculous concept came up with, that means everybody accepts everybody. And see, the problem with that is Jesus loves you more than any other person who's ever lived. You know what his first message to you and me was? Repent. Not up just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. Jesus is like, I love you, but not the way you are. And so we're going to make some changes. That's the whole point. And if it wasn't for God's redemptive work, we wouldn't even get a chance to have those changes made. So biblical love, a selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability, but motivated by a desire to honor God, is not the same as the feelings and all the other stuff that goes with it, and you're not going to make a movie about it unless you want to make a movie about serving and receiving no reward. Then you would have a biblical concept. The important thing is to understand this. It is in your wheelhouse to decide that you want to walk with God and walk in his love. Or it is in your wheelhouse to be in rebellion, much like it is in your wheelhouse to tell God no, but that doesn't last long because it seems like God kind of gets his way. So you might as well just say yes and make it simple. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Ask God to help you love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, not part of you. Ask God to love your neighbor like you love yourself. If you have a terrible love of yourself, ask God to help you get a better understanding of how to love yourself and extend that. Treat other people the way you would want to be treated and do something that is radical. Be a Christian and be a light in a world that is filled with darkness. People in the light see that and respond. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.